Bennett Barbour stands in his tidy kitchen in Providence Forge, Virginia, wearing a black apron and cap. After years of working as a professional chef, he still loves to cook.
I do a stuffed red snapper with capers, white wine, with a little pinch of lemon juice. Quite tasty. I can cook anything. Give me some water, noodles, some seasoning. I can make something taste good for you, trust me.
His cooking was so good that he was able to get a job after being released from prison. On Valentine's Day, 1978, he was charged with raping a William and Mary student at gunpoint.
I was sitting at home with my wife, waiting for the birth of our firstborn, and they come knocking on my door and say, well, we have a warrant for your arrest. I'm like, huh, for what? You know, then they put me in handcuffs and stuff, took me down to James City County Jail, Williamsburg, and that's where my nightmare began.
At first, he was confident he couldn't be convicted. He had a solid alibi and no history of violent crime.
I did not rape no one.
So this was pretty much a case of mistaken identity? This woman thought it was you?
I don't know if it was mistaken identity or coach, but I know I didn't do this. I weighed 112 pounds at the time of this incident. They tell me I weighed 150.
And Deirdre Enright, Director of Investigations for UVA's Innocence Project, says there was more evidence to exonerate him, blood and hair samples.
They knew that the victim was blood type A. They knew her fiancé was blood type A. The semen was blood type A. And they knew Mr. Barbour was blood type B.
But the 19-year-old victim said he was the one, and the jury believed her. Barbour was sentenced to 18 years in prison. Once behind bars, he kept his head low, learned to build new furniture, and to refinish antiques.
I'm already in something I ain't done. I ain't trying to get in no more trouble, you know? And the inmates respected me, and I didn't have no problem.
His mother's employer, a woman from Williamsburg who had watched Bennett grow up, hired a lawyer to represent Barbour when he appeared before the parole board after just 4.5 years. Matthew Engel, legal director of UVA's Innocence Project, says the board's decision reflects a lack of certainty about Barbour's guilt.
He was paroled very early on in kind of an extraordinary way when the police officers and the judge all wrote to the parole board in favor of his release.
Barbour was elated to be back with his family, 4 sisters, 3 brothers, and loving parents who were active in their Parish Hill church. His wife had divorced him. But he was on good terms with his little girl, now 5 years old. And with time, his anger over a wrongful conviction faded.
I'm not bitter with anyone because God is in my life. Yes, we're at home. Okay. Let me answer this phone. Hold on 1 second, Rose.
Today at 56, he's surrounded by a caring community. During my short visit to his rural home, the phone rang 5 times, with friends and relatives checking in. Barbour's been diagnosed with bone cancer and was only recently released from the hospital. Now, more than ever, he wants his criminal record erased. Again, attorney Deirdre Enright.
His court file is heartbreaking in the handwritten letters to the court begging for his transcript, begging for a court file copy because he wants to exonerate himself and wants to clear his name.
He spent years working as a hotel chef near Richmond's airport, but it still bothers him that getting a job is so difficult if you're convicted of a violent crime.
People look at you funny, look down at you. If I have to go for a position or something and they have to do a background check and this comes up, oh no, get him out of here. Who is this? You know, that's my life. That's my name. That's my signature. Me.
Ironically, the state knew 18 months ago that Bennett Barbour was innocent. DNA analysis showed another man, a convicted sex offender, was actually responsible for the crime. The lab notified the Commonwealth's attorney, who sent a letter to Barbour and to the victim. But those letters were returned. Barbour is skeptical. Surely, with a little effort, they could have found him back in June of 2010.
I live not too far from there, you know, like 20 minutes away. My family have been living here for 75 years.
And when Matthew Engel learned of the case, he says it was really easy to find Barbour and the woman who accused him of rape.
You know, within 24 hours of us getting this information, we had talked to Mr. Barbour. We knew the facts of the case, and we had also located the victim and actually provided her name and telephone number to the Commonwealth's attorney to enable him to get in touch with her.
What worries lawyers Engel and Enright is that the crime lab won't say how many people it's notified or how many cases like Barbour's remain in limbo.
Mr. Barbour's case is an example of how little is being done to tell people that the lab has this evidence, that the testing is being done, and that in at least 70 of these cases, the results have come back in a way that excludes the person who was convicted of the original offense.
Some of these hundreds of people are still in prison?
We know that some of these people are in prison. The problem is that there's so much secrecy here that we don't know what, if any, efforts the lab has undertaken to notify these people. We know that in some cases, letters were mailed. We know that in some cases, inmates received letters, but the letters that they received were so confusing that people were terrified when they got them because all they understood was, oh, the lab has evidence in your case and they're going to start testing it. And people thought, they're coming after me again.
Then there's over 400 cases where the DNA is inconclusive. And in those cases, another test or a sample from the person in prison could be what conclusively solves the case. And there's over 400 people. Nothing is happening to those people.
A spokesman for the crime lab told us they're understaffed. And because some of these cases exonerate people, new criminal investigations are underway. Under Virginia's Freedom of Information law, the lab doesn't have to disclose details from an active investigation. The state legislature may approve money to compensate people like Bennett Barbour, but he may also have reason to sue the state for taking so long to let him know what DNA evidence showed, that he did time for a crime he didn't commit, and that he's lived with a stigma he didn't deserve. This is Sandy Houseman reporting.